Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you another message on this fourth Sunday already of the month of August. One more Sunday and the month of August is over. Man, the time has been sure going fast. I don't know about you, but I don't know as I'm quite ready for September to come yet. But we don't have any choice in that. It just keeps coming. I'm glad to be coming your way. I'm over here at the Lighthouse on a Tuesday evening because tomorrow morning I have a funeral service to do. And so I'm over here this evening to put together the broadcast. It's a little cooler. It makes it feel kind of nice. There's a bass tournament going on out on the lake. There's some pontoons out for a sun cruise, a sunset cruise. They've been going by every 10 minutes or 15 minutes or so, and that's been very nice. Something else here at the lake that has happened now at this time of the year is we've got hundreds of seagulls all swimming in the center of the lake. They always come by and stop by here for a period of time. Some of them stay here all winter, but some stop by for a period of time. We had another change. We just had a brand new blacktop put in on our road here to Long Lake Road. And today they came by and put another layer of tar and put stones on it. So now we got a stony road out front. So a lot of changes taking place, and that's kind of the way life is, I guess. But anyway, I'm glad you joined us this morning. You tuned us in, by the way, of WDLP 93.1 at Belding at 7 o'clock. We stream this broadcast live, by the way, of WDLP.fm. Others of you tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM. Or if you live in the lower area, it's 100.3 FM. I welcome each of you to our broadcast this morning. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And a beautiful thing right now, we're streaming both of these stations by the way of the website that's broadcast live. And that's something that is very special. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 9 or 10 o'clock. Others have tuned me in by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Bring your mouse up over where it says Messages from the Lighthouse. Current Media will show up. Then you click on Current Media. And the top broadcast is the one for this morning. Whatever way you join me, I'm just so glad to have you being a part of the broadcast. Because you're the reason I'm over here this evening is I want to share this message with you. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial costs involved in broadcasting. So a special thank you to Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans, so that's very special. To Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, they've been a longtime supporter of our program, and I appreciate them so much. To Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, they're friends of ours, but also are interested in the broadcast, and I appreciate that. And also to Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years. Still attend a couple of the services there. My wife and I can't quite make all three of them. I jokingly say if I don't get the message in two services, Saturday night and Sunday morning at 9, I probably won't get it. So that's where the services are at Shiloh. Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and then they have a contemporary service at 10:45. And then our Greenville campus, which is located in Old Calvary Baptist Church, corner of Grove and Luray Street, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. A big thank you for the faithfulness of K.N. Kingsinger. She's picking out my music for a number of years now. I just sent her the first two messages for September. Told her I'd try to get the rest of the other two back to her by the end of this week, and she'll get the songs all lined up for us. Whatever way you joined us, I'm just glad to have you be a part of the broadcast this morning. Our message today is God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet. And I'd ought to tell you, folks, we need a light on our path in these difficult days that we're a part of. And I'm so thankful for God's Word. And we're going to listen to a song that kind of gets us started for the broadcast this morning. And this song is simply saying, Thy Word. It's all about God's Word and what He has done through His Word and what He wants us to understand. So we'll listen to this song, and then I'll be right back and share the message with you as we see what God has in store for us today. But right now, we're going to hear a song that I've always appreciated, God's Word. God's Word. Here we go.
Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the
I love that song, A Light Unto My Path. Thy Word, the Bible. God's Word, the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us, and the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. So as Jesus was here in the teachings of the Lord Jesus, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is God's Word for us. It's a light unto our path. It's a lamp unto our way as we go step by step each day. Before we get started with the message for this morning, I want to have a prayer for you, the listening audience that have tuned me in today. I don't know what your week has been like last week, but that's why I'm here. That's why I'm at this microphone on a Tuesday evening, is I'm here at this microphone to share with you a message on Sunday morning or whenever you tune it in on my website. And I'm here to share a message that I hope will be a message of encouragement, a message of challenge, a message that would honor God and bring glory to Him and to His Son, the Lord Jesus. I've been trying the last few weeks to do a little unspoken request time of prayer. So if you've got a special need in your life, Something that's been bothering you this week, something that's came up this week that's got you really concerned, and maybe it's keeping you awake at night, maybe it's on your mind constantly. We need to come to Him and ask Him for His help. And I'd like to remember your unspoken request. I don't need to know what it is. You know what it is. God knows what it is. And I'm just going to join in faith with you that God would meet your need according to His will. So let's bow together for a moment. Dear Father, once again, we come to You. And I come, Father, in behalf of the listening audience. I thank You for every person that has tuned their radio station to my program. I thank You for every individual that is listening at this moment. And Father, I want to pray for whatever their needs are, that You would minister to them. You take this message and You would use it as a light unto their path. Give them some understanding that maybe they don't know before or didn't know before. And at the same time, Father, they may have an unspoken request, a need that is in their life that they need some help from You for. And Father, You're so good at meeting us at the point of our need. So right now, I want to pray for every unspoken request. As that person is thinking about what it is their unspoken request, I join in faith with them and ask, Dear Father, would You meet the need of that unspoken request according to Your holy and Your divine will? Now come and honor Your word. We thank You for Your word. And we pray as we talk about the light of Your word that You would just be pleased to guide us and to direct us. And I'll thank You and I'll praise You for that in the wonderful name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen. Well, as we come to the message this morning, I thought first I wanted to spend a little time on the word path. Thy word is a light unto my path. You know, I think my first exposure to a pathway, was when I was probably about 11, 12 years old. I was working for a dairy farmer. And he told me to go out in the field and get the cattle. He said, all you got to do is get behind him and start pushing him towards the barn. So as I was walking back to the field where the cattle were, we was going down what I would call a lane. But in the center of that lane, there was a path. And as I went back to get the cows, I noticed right early on, those cows seemed to follow one right behind the other, and they seemed to walk on that path. Now and then they would stop and maybe go to the side and get a little green grass that's on the other side of the fence, but they would continue down that path. And because they walked on it night and day, in the morning time and in the evening time, the grass was worn off of it, and there was this little narrow path in the center of this wide fenceway, this wide lane, so to speak. And then, you know, as I got a little older, I decided I wanted to go deer hunting. And a friend was willing to take me out and show me how to do some deer hunting and what deer hunting was all about. I was about 17. And when we went out in the woods, he come and showed me where I could put my blind, so to speak, where I could set and wait for a deer to come down, a kind of a hiding place, so to speak, and ambush the deer as he came by. And he said, see, there's a path there, and there's a path there. It seems as though those deer travel the same path, day after day, day after day, and pretty soon they've got a path worn right into the ground, so to speak. And it's just, you can see it very clearly. And you can see the ones that's been used the most. And so he helped me to set up my blind in there. You know, I had an interest in snowmobiling as I got a little older. We had a snowmobile, and so we'd go to do some snowmobiling. And pretty soon I noticed the same thing. When there was snowmobiling around our area there, there was snowmobile on a path. Got permission from some farmers and all those kinds of things, and they would go snowmobiling. Later, when I went up and bought my cabin, I found that they have some really nice paths up there by Kalkaska area. They're called snowmobile trails, and you can go on those snowmobile trails. We had a Jeep for a while. We went out and we traveled all the state land on those two tracks, as they call them. But it's a path through the woods. And then when I bought my cabin, there's a path. It's about a mile almost back off from the road, and there's a little two-track. People always tease me when they use my cabin for the first time because the name of that two-track is Little Devil Creek. They said, Pastor, how do you buy a cottage or a cabin on Little Devil Creek? But that's the name of that path, and when it comes where it turns to my place, it says North Fork on it. It's a North Fork of the Little Devil Creek. And you know, I have a picture of that path. I have it on my screensaver, and I use it different times. I use it in my Facebook devotion for Sunday. And I just got written on that picture where you can see this beautiful two-track. It's my path to the cabin. My path to our cabin. How special that is. And when I just look at that path, I can remember the times that I traveled down that path. And whenever I go up to mow my lawn there, I don't have to be able to do it only two or three times a year, but I always mow the side of the path, and I always mow the center of the path. And it's just, that's what a path is. God is saying to you, and God is saying to me, my word is a light unto your path. So as a foundation for our study this week, I want to put out a challenge given to us in Proverbs 4:26. This challenge is, I think, much needed today. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Or another translation says, oh, watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. I love the word ponder. Think about it. Think about the steps that you're taking each day. Think about your life as an individual, the path of your life. Ponder, consider, think about it, think it over. And he says, you know what? Consider the sureness of your path. You see, I think God wants us to learn that as we live life, whether it's in the 80s, or rather it's in whatever age you are this morning, I think we need to realize that we need to ponder our path. Let me tell you what I do now that I'm in the 80s. You know, I go to visit a house because there's not been visitation at the funeral home, I go to the house to meet with the family, get the information that I need for the funeral service. And when I do, I always have to really, I've never done this before, I have to watch my feet. I have to make sure where I know where there is little teeny rises, or where there is an uneven ground or an uneven piece of cement, because I could stumble and fall. God said, I want you to watch over your path of your feet. Watch where you're going. I know that is even true in some of the homes. I was in one here a little while ago, and there was different elevations in the home. Sometimes it was only about an inch or two difference between one room and the next room. And sometimes they would remember to tell you that there's a difference in the floor. And sometimes they wouldn't. I believe as a Christian, there are two paths that we continue to come in contact with every day of our life. I believe there's a path of self-gratification, or there's another path of self-denial. There's a path which leads to the idea of just doing what you want to do. And there's a path that leads to helping others in whatever way you can. Which path do you find yourself on this morning? Which path means the most important to you? You know, folks, no matter what age we are today, the choices we make each day of our lives determines which path we'll spend our time on. If you make choices, you can just say, I want to just live for myself. or I want to live to be a help to others. I love this promise in God's words in Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me, God, the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. I love that. I love that. You show me, God, the path of life. And in your presence, there's a fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It's almost like he's saying, you know, I want to walk the path with you. It's almost like he's saying, I want you to enjoy this. You know, that cabin I spoke about a few moments ago, we've had that cabin for about 30 years, and I've had great pleasure. That path to my cabin has led me down to some really special pleasures. This past week, we went up to the cabin for one day. Last week, we did take a key up to my daughter, who was going to stay there for a few days because they didn't get a key. I stayed overnight. That night for supper, we had mashed potatoes and gravy made out of the poor man's type of gravy, hamburgers, flour, and a little milk. And we had a beautiful time with our daughter and granddaughter. And you know something, in the morning I made my root beer pancakes, and that was something very special to each of them. That cabin has brought me so much pleasure. Do I dare tell you that I want to go a step further? Remember I spoke speaking a minute ago, you can use your life to satisfy just yourself. You can be selfish with the things that you have. But you know, I have a book that sits on that table in my cabin. And I let people use my cabin. Some families have used it for many years. And they've had very special times. And every time I have the book there, laying there for them to write a little something about their enjoyment at the cabin. And I got to tell you, one of the things that my wife did, and it really encouraged her, she sat down and she read through that book of the different ones that have been at the cabin. And different things they said about the special time that they had. You know what both of us do, folks? We get pleasure out of somebody else getting pleasure out of our cabin. That's what God wants us to do. That's what he wants our lives to be like. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And he wants to lead us down that path. Again, I want us to consider this idea of ponder. To ponder is to consider, to weigh carefully, to even weigh it mentally. What does it mean to you? I also like Proverbs 21:2, every day, every way of man is right in his own eyes. But listen to what the Lord ponders. He ponders our hearts. Oh, we find ways to justify our action. But he's saying, you know what God does? God examines your motives. It's getting near time that the bass fishermen come in and see who won the bass fishermen tournament tonight. So you may hear a little noise out on the lake because they always got to go full tilt. When they leave, they go full tilt. And when they come back to check in, they go full tilt. But that's beautiful. You know what, folks? That's why I love living here at the lake. Some of the things that people do for blessing. And God's saying, you know what? I want you to enjoy life. I want life to be enjoyable. But I also want you to ponder your life. Life just can't be about you. It's about you and your relationship with God. And when you have a relationship with God, it's about your relationship with people. I think I've said this many times. The cross has one stick pointing up on part of the cross, pointing us to God. And the other sides of the cross point us to our fellow man. If we really want to perform what Jesus wanted to do, it's summed up in what he said. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So how do I love this Lord Jesus on this path? You know, one of the things that when Jesus was here, he taught things so simply. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you," Jesus said, "do you also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." God is saying, you know what? All the things that was written in the Old Testament were written for this purpose. To teach you to do to others as you would have others do to you. Now, God didn't say do to others before they do it to you. He said, you treat other people the way you want to be treated. And God's something that is very important to God. Now, listen what he says right after he said that. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter in by it are many." He says, you know what? There's two gates. There's two ways, two paths of life. There's a narrow little gate and there's a narrow little path. I want you to enter into the narrow path. Because he says, you know what? So many people walk the wide path. They love the wide gate where everybody can get in and everybody is doing it, is what they say. But he says, you know what? That path will lead to destruction. And those that enter into that path are many. For the gate is narrow. And I'm telling you right up front, Jesus is saying, the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. I want you to find a path that's not so easy trotted, because it's just a easy, wide way. You can live the way you want to and the way you do. God's saying to us, my way is going to be a harder way, but it's not going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to life everlasting. Life is about choices. Life is about the freedom for you to make choices. God loves you so much that he didn't take away the ability for you to be able to choose what you want to do. He gave you the free will of man. But every now and then we're at a crossroad of deciding which path of life do we follow. We should consider what Jesus shares with us. The wide gate and the wide path will be chosen by many. There'll be many to enter in that way because it's the easiest way. They may think that that's a nice thing about the wide gate. In fact, that's because the gate is so wide, they are able to do or take anything they want to with them on their journey. But the narrow gate does not have room for anything but you. You must leave your baggage behind. Jesus tells us, take up your cross and follow me daily, he says. This implies that our agenda is to do what Jesus has for us to do. It's not a selfish agenda. That's why he tells us this gate is only room for you and for your cross. He says narrow is the path. And it's not going to be an easy path to walk. But all things that Jesus has told us up to this point has been to prepare us to be able to walk on that narrow path. In our life, we'll come to a fork in the road. In each life, I believe in each age of life, there'll be a crossroad. There are two points. One points to Jesus and eternal life. The other points to a path of do anything you want to, but it ends in destruction. Each of us have to make our own choice. As you ponder what to do at the fork of the road, then you talk through, then when you walk through the gate, follow the path. Where will you choose the path to lead you? I believe the big part of the pondering of our feet and pondering our path is to get us to realize each of the paths have a different destination. One has a destination of destruction. The other has a destination of eternal life. Jesus is saying, I would desire you to follow the life that I have taught you through the word that he came to show us through the person of the Lord Jesus. Got a song I want us to listen to while I take a little break. This song says, a child of the King. Can you imagine that God has made us a child of the King? King Jesus. and he wants to be the king of our life. He is traveling the narrow road, folks, and he wants us to travel the narrow road with him. So we'll listen to this song, and then I'll be right back, and we'll share the rest of the message for this morning, and trust that God will just bless in a special way. Here we go. God bless you. Well, we had a little pause there, folks. I'm sorry. I never know when I put those songs on, whether they continue on or not, but there seemed to be some reason that song didn't want to take off this morning. So it's a child of the King, and that's pretty special. That God, King Jesus, would want you to be a child of his. But when he talks about this, he talks about being a child of light. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, God is saying in his word, he wants to give guidance as you and I travel the path of life day by day. I believe this is illustrated by the nation of Israel as they were crossing the wilderness. No, God led them across the wilderness. It was through the difficult times of our life. We're in difficult times of our life right now. And I believe with all my heart that God is going to lead us through it. I believe we will get to the other side of what we're going through. But we need to realize also that God said that he gave a pillar of fire at night. That was the light that he used to leave them in the nighttime when they would travel at night. That great big group of people and the tabernacle going with them. And then in the daytime, he led them by a cloud, a pillar of a little cloud. When the cloud moved, that meant the nation of Israel was supposed to move. When the light in the sky moved at nighttime, that meant the nation of Israel. And God was leading them. There's a statement that said, the goodness of God leading is to be remembered, and how the people responded to it. But you know, God's direction to our life, and God's direction to their life. It's a little bit of a remembrance time in Psalm 78, verses 10 through 14. They had not been faithful to God's promises. They refused to follow his teaching. They forgot what he had done. They forgot the miracles he had shown them. In the front of their ancestors performed miracles in the land of Egypt and in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through it. He made waters to stand up like a wall. He guided them by a cloud during the day and a fiery light through the night. God guided them by day and he guided them by night with a different method of guidance for them to follow. God, I believe, is reminding us that the people who were the people just like you and I as a person, We don't always want God's guidance. God was given to them the guidance they needed as they traveled the path that he wanted them to travel. But they still wanted to give us, and God still wants to give us light to follow our path through this COVID-19 thing or whatever else it is that you're facing today. God's word is a lamp to my feet and is a light unto my path. I love the idea of a lamp to my feet to give light, to take each step, and a light to light up the path ahead of me as I go. You know, I just bought, just a few months ago, I never had one before, but I thought I wanted one. I see that they had a light that you kind of goes on your forehead. It's just a strap thing that straps on your forehead, and there's a light. And so when you're doing something where you need both hands, you don't have to have a hand holding the flashlight. The flashlight is right on your head, and you can just see what you're doing and where you're going. I wish I would have had one of those when I was doing deer hunting, you know. But I always carried a flashlight with me. But you know something? In the biblical days, they had those lights they could put on their sandals. And every step they took, it lit the way that they were headed. There is one thing more I love about this light of God's word to give us some sense of direction. It's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, 18 through 20. But the path of the righteous is like a light of dawn. Now listen to what it says. The dawning of light, just beginning to get light. And then this light shines brighter and brighter until the full day, until noontime. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what they are stumbling over. My son, he says, be attentive to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to every person. God's in this light that I want you to see. This light that I want you to notice is a light that's going to help your path. It's a light that's going to get brighter. You know, when we first start out, we don't have much of the light of the way God thinks and in God's design and desire for our life. But the more we obey him, the more that we trust him, then the light begins to shine brighter and brighter. And first thing you know, we can see so much better than we could have been before. And that's what's so important for us to know. You know, I'm over here at the lighthouse, and I had a little problem in the first part of the message, and then we had a problem with the song, so we're spending more time talking. But you know, I just reached over because the sun has set, and now it's beginning to get dark. Did you notice when the sun is set, how quickly it begins to get dark? But I have a light on my table here, and as all I did is reached over and pushed the button, and now everything is nice and bright for me to be able to see. I think we need to realize that promise of God is for you today. No matter what age you are, how far you have traveled in your journey of life, the light shines brighter and brighter until your journey is finished. And you go to be with Jesus because of your faith in him. And get this, folks. Jesus is the light of heaven. May say that again. It said there's no darkness there. There's no night there. Because Jesus is the light of heaven. I had a picture on my Facebook that I put on. It shows an older gentleman walking. He has to use a cane. And I'm in the caption above him, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And it shows his path all lit up so beautifully. You know, folks, I need that hope. I believe you need that hope. You know, when you get to be this age and you know that you spent a lot more of your life than you have left to spend. Many of you got to that point, have you? You spent more of your life than you realize you have to spend. And we need to be thinking all about these things called Jesus and God and heaven and hell. We need to understand that God is trying to give us some light in our path to show us the way that we need to go and the things that we need to do. Let me tell you one of the reasons why I believe God is doing that. He's a light unto my path because there's so much darkness. There's so much darkness in our world, and we need God's light. I love it when Paul was talking to the church at Ephesians. I love the way he started this out in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 16. Once, he said, you people lived in dark, but now the Lord has filled you with light. Let me pause. Now the Lord has filled you with light. Then live as children who have light. The light produces everything that is good, that has God's approval, and that is true. Determine which things please the Lord. Have nothing to do with this useless works that a darkness produces. Instead, expose them. That's what light does. It exposes the things of darkness. Instead, expose them for what they are. Now listen to this, because it's true today. It was true in that day when Paul was writing it, but it's more true today. It is even shameful to talk about what some people do in secret. Light exposes the true character of everything because light makes everything easy to see. That's why he says, "Wake up, you sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. So then be careful how you live. Don't live life foolishly as people, but live life wise as people." And now listen to this. "Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." You know, the darker it gets, we need to realize the brighter the light shines. And that's why we need to shine for Jesus. That's why we need to be the light that has been shining on us. And we allow that light to shine through us to others, to help them in their journey that they're on as they walk this walk of life. There's some things that I really liked that I want to draw your attention to before we leave that portion of Scripture. I like the idea that God fills us with light. See, that's what he was saying before. When he says the light, like the daylight, it begins to shine brighter and brighter. And finally, it's so bright, you got to put your sunglasses on. You know what he says that light does for you and I? It produces within us a desire for us to step out of our comfort zone. Have you noticed that we often stay in our comfort zone? We sometimes, even though we know it would be better for us to do some things for God, we stay in our comfort zone because we like our comfort zone. I have always loved the turtle. To illustrate the comfort the turtle feels inside his shell. I've got a lot of stories about turtles. I know when I see one in the road, I often put on my four-way flashers and see which direction the turtle was going and take it across the road. But you know, when I go to pick the turtle up, he'd pull his head inside as though that's going to protect him. There he is in his comfort zone, in his shell. There he is in that way. One of the things before the insurance companies caught up with us, so to speak, we had a big school bus. And every Thursday I used to take the bus to what was called then Belding Christian Nursing Home. And we'd take the school bus, and some of the folks that we could get permission from their family, they would go out with us on the bus. The people from the nursing home, we'd load them on the bus, 40 people or so. We'd take them for a ride in the country. They'd always send a couple nurses with me. The nurses sometimes would kind of doze off as we were driving around the country roads. In those days, it was cows in the field and everything, and I just had certain roads that I could take them down so they could see life. It was just something so much different for them than seeing the same four walls in their nursing home. One time we was driving down the road, and there was a turtle going across the road. So I turned on the four-way flashes, just a country, lonely country road, and I turned on the four-way flashes of the bus. And I got out and I got the turtle. I brought him back on the bus and let everybody touch him. You know, the minute I picked him up, he pulled his head back inside the turtle, inside of his shell. He thought he was totally secure. I remember there was one man that, when I showed it to him, he took his finger and stuck it in there with his head. I thought, man, I hope that turtle don't bite him. It wasn't a very big turtle, but I wouldn't have been a bad bite. But I hope that turtle don't bite him. But you know something, folks? That was such a blessing to those people. You know, we came back and would get him a little ice cream cone. I'd set it up with the fella that run the ice cream place and said, "Can you just put a little bit of ice cream in the cone?" And he just donated them for us. We go in and get a ice cream that was only about a half inch above the cone. But them folks had such a good time. And then our insurance company and the nursing home insurance company caught up with us and they said, "You can't do that anymore." But I'm so glad when I think about it that I got that memory. And you know, I'm so glad it's that memory about the turtle. You know, when the turtle pulls his head back within that shell, that's his comfort zone. He feels comfortable there. But you and I, as Christians sometime, we kind of pull our head back into our shell, so to speak, our place of comfort zone. And God says, live as children of light. I don't want you just to live in the comfort zone of your own life. I want you to live as children of light. And listen to what he says. Because everything that comes from light is good. Light's a good thing. Haven't you had times in your night when you just wished for morning to come? I love it when Paul was on a shipwreck there in the book of Acts. He said they dropped some anchors and prayed for morning to come. I've had some times in my old age of life where I just prayed for morning to come. For light. The night has been too discouraging. The night hasn't allowed me to sleep for some reason or another. God said, as a child of light, of God, the biggest change in your life and my life that I believe God wants to make is a change so that you and I will do the things that would approve, that God would approve, that we have a desire. I believe that's one of the biggest changes when I asked Jesus to come into my life that I had in my life. Was before that, I wasn't concerned about God, the things of God. But when I asked Jesus to come into my life and I started getting his word into my life, I became more concerned. What would Jesus want to do? What would Jesus have me to do? And now at 85, I still have days where I just, God, what do you want me to do today? There's a beautiful promise that I like in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. This translation says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I love that verse. God is at work in you through that light that's coming into your life. God is at work within you to give you the desire and also the power to do what pleases God. And you know what? We need to be concerned with that this morning. As we wrap up our service for today, and I'm just beginning to wonder if the closing song will work or not, but as we wrap up our service for today, God's word is a lamp unto my path to help me become the person that God really intended me to be. You know, there's a person that I'll naturally be as being raised in the family I was raised in. There's a person I'll naturally be by what instincts I have as an individual. But listen to what God said in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. So get rid of every kind of evil. Get rid of every kind of deception. Get rid of every kind of hypocrisy. Get rid of jealousy. Get rid of every kind of slander. Now listen to what he said. Remember, he says God's going to give you the desire. Desire God's pure word as a newborn believer in Jesus. Desire this milk of the word that you may grow in your salvation. Certainly you have tasted that the Lord is good. You've come to know Christ, the living stone who has been rejected by other humans, and he's been precious to you. Some people reject God, but he's precious to you. You come to him as a living stone, a spirit's house that is being built into a holy priesthood. So offer spiritual sacrifice that God accepts through Jesus Christ. This is why he says, I am laying a chosen and precious cornerstone in Zion. The person who believes in him, in me, will never be put to shame. You should never be satisfied with your life as it is right now. You should never be satisfied. You are to make progress becoming that person that Jesus wants you to be. The person that Jesus knows you have the potential of becoming. That's what he wants to work in our life. And when he's working that way in our life, you know what happens? Little by little, the darkness disappears. And little by little, the light overpowers the darkness. And all of a sudden, you become a child of light. You know things that you didn't know before. You believe things that you didn't believe before. You've come to think the way Jesus thinks. I don't have time to cover that, but that's one of the things that I think is important for us to realize. If you keep doing what you've always done, you always be what you've always been. If you want to change those things in your life, we have to change our mindset. We have to change the things that we believe. My time is coming, and I'm hoping to close, but I'm hoping this song will start out. I'm going to give it a try anyway. We'll see what happens. If not, I'll be right back with you, okay? Here we go right now. Whoops. Wait a minute. Here we go. It's giving me trouble. This is talking about God's faithfulness. He's so faithful to each one of us, folks. God bless you.
Faithful is what you are. Faithful is what you do. Faithful in all your ways, steadfast and true. Faithful is what you are, so faithful is what I'll be. 'Cause you've always been faithful to me. Faithful is what you are.
Faithful is what you are.
Faithful is what you do.
Faithful is what you do.
Faithful in all your ways, steadfast and true. So faithful is what I'll be. 'Cause you've always been faithful to me. When I'm in darkness,
oh, you shine down on me.
And when I'm in conflict,
you are my peace.
You never fail me.
You're
you've always been faithful to me.